Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Cricket World Cup Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and in the company of Racing Post cricket experts James Milton and Matt Ireland, as well as Paddy Power's cricket compiler Stuart Conroy, we are going to take you through all the best bets on a six-week extravaganza of 50 over-a-side cricket. It starts on Thursday. England play South Africa at the Oval and culminates at Lords, I'm guessing, James?
Very much so, yeah.
On July the 14th. Blimey, so much can happen. And probably will. We've got a good new format this time, James, haven't we? Rather than two groups and then two more groups or whatever else, they all play each other once. Just quickly spin us through how it all works.
Yeah, so it's a round-robin league stage. You've got 10 teams in it, all play each other once. And then the top four in the league meet in the semi-finals. So, yeah, kind of. I think the big guns are likely to come through for some excellent semi-finals. Consistency will be the key.
OK, before the lads tell us who they fancy for the Cricket World Cup, let's get a show of betting from Paddy Power. Stuart, over to you.
Hi James, Bruce and Matt, delighted to be on the show with you guys. So the betting for the Cricket World Cup outright, understandably England the number one ranked side in the world are favourites at 7-4, second India at 11-4, and just coming up behind them Australia 3-1.
And what's it beyond there? It's quite a big gap to the rest, isn't it, Stuart?
It is, yeah. I mean, you're down to the likes of South Africa at 9-1, New Zealand at 12s, West Indies at 18-1, Pakistan at 22-1, and then 150-1, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Afghanistan.
Stuart, that sounds very unfamiliar, that shape of the market. I mean, a 7-4 at the start of World Cup's unheard of, isn't it?
It probably reflects how good England have been over the last number of years. Since the last World Cup, they've almost undoubtedly been the best ODI side in cricket. They've won 15 of their last 16 ODIs at home. They really are the team to beat, in fairness.
Okay, fair enough. And 6 weeks of non-stop cricket for trading for you, presumably, Stu. No, all leave has been cancelled, has it?
Yeah, afraid so. Yeah, I'll be kind of chained to my desk for the next 6 weeks. But looking forward to seeing some fantastic cricket.
Indeed. Okay, Matt, kick us off. That 7-4 England kind of feels short, but then if you look at the stats, I suppose it's understandable. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I think it's a good price, really. The format certainly suits them because you can have an off day. Each team plays 9 games, so, and although there's none of the minnows anymore, there's no Namibias, Bermudas, unfortunately, there's still teams that they should beat pretty comfortably. You can afford to have an off day against your Australias, Indias, probably 5 wins will get you into the semis, and then from then on it's all kind of pressure games, semi-final, final, which they are now, down the years, the last few years, they've got great experience in the IPL, Big Bash, in these massive leagues with big money on the line. They're used to the pressure now, whereas before...
Are they that much better, though, than everyone else?
I think they are, yeah. I think the only team that gets close to them probably all round is India. Because now, you probably say the only kind of area of weakness about England was their death bowling. But they've, Jofra Archer has really kind of like filled that gap now. They've got two guys who bowl 90 miles an hour. They've got their batting goes down to like number 9. Moeen Ali scored test match one day hundreds. He's batting number 9 and can score it, still score it a good lick if they need to.
No weaknesses?
Don't think so.
Is that how you see it, James?
Yeah, I mean, that 7-4 now is pretty much the cut-off point that I'd be backing them. Even last week or so, they were 9-4 into 2-1. I still think that's really, really good bet. They have just been extraordinary in the last 4 years when you consider 2015, they limped out of the tournament in Australia and New Zealand, just playing a really dated brand of cricket compared to the better sides in the tournament, lost to Bangladesh, went out in the group stage. You look at it and it is weird to see England at this price for a World Cup, purely because their pedigree has been appalling. I mean, they got to the final in 1992. Since then, they've not even made the semis. But, this side have just completely revolutionised the way England play one-day cricket under Owen Morgan.
It's a
27 years, they haven't even made the semis, and we're being asked to back them 7-4. Stuart, what's your view? Fair price, or can we take them on?
I think it's a fair price, 7-4. I mean, as I considering the stats, saying that, I do have a little caveat with it, that, you know, if you look at when England went out of the Champions Trophy in the semi-final to Pakistan 2 years ago, there's not a huge difference between the 11 that played that game against the 11 that's going to line out against South Africa tomorrow. You've probably just changed in the likes of Jake Ball and bringing in Joffre Archer, bringing in Jason Roy instead of Alex Hales, and maybe Chris Wokes instead of Liam Plunkett. It's not a huge amount. The main part of that team is there. And the only thing I would worry for England is when the pressure comes on, like it did in that Champions Trophy game, can they crack? Maybe.
Well, what do you think there, James? I mean, that temperament question needs to be answered.
Absolutely, and that, you know, it's quite right to raise that game, because England had looked all over the winners coming through that tournament as well. They've been brilliant, beaten Australia and New Zealand, and they came up against Pakistan on this kind of sluggish pitch in Cardiff, and they just, I think they just believed in their game plan a little bit too much and weren't able to adapt, and, you know, just still went out there all guns blazing. Owen Morgan wasn't very complimentary about the pitch afterwards. He said it completely undermined what home advantage England should have had. So I think we can expect, you know, belting batting wickets in this tournament. Hopefully a nice dry run of weather. And on a good batting pitch, England know that they will just beat anyone. So Stuart's quite right. England need to be a bit more streetwise. If conditions are against them, they need to be a little bit cuter. But I think that game will certainly be in their minds as it's in our punters' minds.
Indeed. Okay, apart from England then, who everyone seems to fancy quite strongly on the panel, the next two in the market are very short as well in relation to the rest, India and Australia. Matt, who do you favour out of those two?
I would go India, purely because they have a more rounded side than Australia. I think Australia have got Warner and Smith coming back in, which, you know, greatly enhances their batting. I'd say that India have got a much stronger bowling attack. You look at that, they've got Jasprit Bumrah, who's probably the best bowler in the world at the moment, especially in white ball cricket. And they've got two quality spinners who may go for a lot of runs, but they do take wickets. And, you know, they are two different types of spinners as well. We've got a left-arm Chinaman, and you've got, you know, Kuldeep Chahar and Chahal, who bowls a leg spin as well, but the other way around. Whereas the spin options of Australia is Zampa, who isn't, you wouldn't call him a premier spinner in any kind of cricket.
And they've got Lyons.
Nathan Lyon does play. He's in the squad.
Yeah, he's in the squad. He's not played a lot of one-day cricket at all, really. So they've kind of brought him back almost because they've run out of other options. I think with Australia's spinners, you'd say neither of them are genuine match winners in one-day cricket. And as Matt said, you know, it seems unusual to say it, but India's pace attack, you'd take them over Australia.
Definitely. And you know, it's you know, it doesn't, when they play in the test matches last year, it's not just Bumrah. Mohammad Shami bowls, you know, he's a skinny bowler, he's quite slight, but he still bowls 87, 88 miles an hour and swings the ball a lot, which in English, they've proven in English conditions that they can be effective. Whereas you wouldn't say that about all of Australia's attack. Obviously, Mitchell Starc, Pat Cummins are great, you know, proper top-notch bowlers, but after that, it's Nathan Coulter-Nile, who picks up a lot of wickets but goes for a lot of runs.
OK, James, do you concur then that India, if there is a danger to England, it's India?
I think India are the danger. I mean, you know, they're an outstanding one-day batting unit. They had concerns over the middle order, actually, coming into the tournament. You know, their top three, Rohit Sharma, Shikhar Dhawan, and then Virat Kohli, who is just the best one-day player in history. No problems there. KL Rahul scored a century in the warm-up game, so maybe he'll come in at four, which is their problem position. And then they've got kind of Dhoni, who scored a century as well, and Hardik Pandya to provide the fireworks lower down. And another bowler I'd mention for India is Ravindra Jadeja, who is just a horrible bowler to face in one-day cricket. He gets through his overs in about a minute.
And like Darren Lehman used to bowl, like flights, spears them in.
Yeah, and you know, before you know it, he's bowled four overs for kind of 15 runs.
Well, I'm all for that, because I tell you what, I mean, you know, I am absolutely avidly opposed to any kind of slow sport, but the one thing I've noticed in one-day cricket, and particularly T20 actually, the amount of pissing around they do between deliveries is absolutely
No, Jadeja is definitely the antidote.
Three overs are tending to take 15, 20 minutes. It's pathetic.
Yeah, you have kind of full-scale negotiations before every ball.
You know, you can put the, you can put fine leg wherever you like, but it's not that exact, is it? You know, they just mess around. Anyway, just got off that. So you're going to, you both fancy England as winners and India as runners-up. Let's see what Stuart thinks on that.
I'm going to book the trend here. I think India for me are the team to beat in this World Cup. I think I've got, I just think England, I have a number of question marks over them. This India side, the main thing you look at, Jasper Bumrah is the number one ranked ODI bowler in the world. Virat Kohli is the number one ranked ODI batsman in the world. They're huge positions. They've also got the likes of MS Dhoni in the centre. He can provide runs. He's as solid as it gets. And they've got the X factor, which is Hardik Pandya. This is a guy who's proven in an IPL in the toughest of conditions, where he will score and score big towards the end of an innings. Not many teams have that kind of a player. He can also bowl and, you know, trouble some batsmen with his bowling. Yeah, for me, it's India, and I think 11-4 is good value.
Well, fair enough. Sorry, I've had you down as an England fan there, the way you were talking about their validity as short favourites, but you're going to go for India. The other two boys are going to go for England. Everyone seems very lukewarm about Australia. There's good. So, if we think that India and England are absolute nailed-on semi-finalists, who might the other semi-finalists be, Matt? We'll go with you first.
I would go, as outside, I would go New Zealand. They are outside of England, I would say. You know, they're probably not the greatest 11 in terms of talent, but when they come together, you know, they probably are up there with England, because they're well-drilled. They're probably the best fielding side in the tournament, and that can be worth 15, 20 runs, which these days when people are scoring 350, that is, you know, it's a big sizable chunk. You know, they've got, a lot is made of how New Zealand and England are very similar conditions. And they've got the left arm option of Bolt, which obviously Australia have with Stark, who is a, you know, gun bowler who swings the ball late, is pretty quick for, you know, he doesn't look it, comes onto the bat hard, and he bowls, you know, good times to tie down opposition. He's very accurate. I just like the way they are. They've got good, you know, they've got power at the top with Munro and Guptill, but then they've got Williamson, who plays like the kind of root role, who's a classy batsman, he's played for Yorkshire for a few years and knows these conditions well, scores big runs when he needs to. I'd go with them to make the top four, definitely.
Okay, James, who might join England and India in the
season? Yeah, I like New Zealand as well, very settled team. And, you know, we mentioned India with Kohli and Bumrah. You know, New Zealand have got a real star batsman in Williamson and a star bowler in Trent Bolt, who comes into the tournament in great form, and a very good supporting cast. Now, there are other interesting ones. I mean, South Africa seem to be under the radar. They had one foot in the final in 2015 and were beaten by an amazing innings by New Zealand's Grant Elliott. The concern for them is that AB de Villiers has gone since then. The batting lineup just looks a little bit stale without him. You know, any side's going to miss him. The bowling, though, you know, Ngidi and Rabada, who are going to come up against England in their opening game, are fantastic new ball bowlers. Dale Steyn already is going to miss the first game, so doubts over his fitness. But I think that South Africa's bowling attack gives them a chance. I just think in this age when you need to be churning out kind of 350 totals. I'm not sure their batting is quite up to it.
They always seem to find a way to lose a World Cup as well.
That is true.
Oh, some brilliant ones.
Marshall Gibbs, the Ray, the Duckworth Lewis.
Stuart, have you got any surprise names potentially to force their way into the semi-lineup?
Not a surprise as such, but I'd be quite agreeable on the South African side. On the negative part of it, they have a lot of players on the wrong side of 30. However, saying that, the likes of Quinton de Kock, Faf du Plessis, Rabada and Tahir are all coming off the back of really, really good IPLs. Rabada and Tahir were the top two bowlers in the entire tournament. You know, looking at if these guys can click on the day, they're a match for most sides in the world. However, over the space of a 9-game league and going on, I think they'll fall over the line and get into the semi-finals. But at that stage, if they come up against in India or in England, it's very hard to see them progressing any further.
Okay, let's look at some individual markets next.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, let's look at top tournament batsmen first. Who is going to be the number one willow wielder before the lads give us their selection? Stuart, what's Paddy Power's latest top batsman betting?
Yeah, so the prices for the top tournament run scorer. So at the moment, slight fav is Virat Kohli at 8-1. Coming very, very tightly behind him is Johnny Bairstow at 9-1. David Warner of Australia at 10-1. Joe Root at 11-1. Jason Roy at 12s. Steve Smith at 14, and then you're looking at 18-1 and bigger the rest.
Milts, can Warner provide the fairy tale victory? Every Englishman hopes that he's going to be top run scorer. Who's your fans?
We'd all love to see it. I think actually of the two, the villains who are coming back for Australia, Steve Smith looks like he's going to come into the tournament in great form. He's been superb in the warm-up games, scored a century against England. And Warner had an absolutely phenomenal IPL campaign, but seems to have found that the switch to 50-over cricket a little tougher. But of the main contenders, I'm going to go for Jason Roy, you know, basically because he's the bigger price of the three England boys at the top. And I just don't think there's much between him, Bairstow and Joe Root. And Roy's been in terrific form as well in the Pakistan series, and then smashed 89 off about 45 balls against Afghanistan in their last warm-up game. And what you've got with Jason Roy, he will get out cheaply, just going for it a couple of times. But as we've mentioned, the length of the group stage, and he's got the ability to bat, you know, to score 150s. He got 160 against Sri Lanka. He got 180 against Australia, and that was only a few months after he'd been dropped by England in the Champions Trophy when he was really struggling for form. And since then, he's been terrific at the top of the order. I think having Bairstow up there as well takes the pressure off him, and I think Roy's been able to, because you're batting with someone who's equally aggressive, and Roy's been able to kind of slightly rein himself in, and his shot selection's improving. I think he'll go really well.
Openers here, given that, you know, I mean, this time last year, we were at the start of our gloriously hot summer, weren't we? But this year, it could absolutely chuck it down for, you know, every other day, couldn't it? So you want to be in nice and early, because there'll be a couple of games, aren't there, where it turns into a slog, and being out first will definitely help.
Yeah, I think also the fact that, you know, you get two new balls at the start of the innings, which don't tend to move around a huge amount. So opening the innings, you know, we've seen in Test cricket, it can be fiendishly difficult sometimes, particularly in England. But with the white balls, you know, you've just got hard balls and it just comes off the bat nicely. You've got the power play, fielding restrictions. So there's plenty of scope to go over the top. And, you know, if you've got the confidence to do it, which obviously Bairstow and Roy do, you know, you can play your shots, go over the top. And I think it is the place to be. You know, I think you are looking for the openers and probably the number three where Virat Kohli will be batting.
OK, Matt, who do you like for top bat?
Yeah, of the three England players, I'd be in the Roy camp. Just think he's coming into form at the right time. He's kind of at one with his game. Like, he knows, I think, he's just, at the moment, he is just the destructive force that we need, especially with, as James was saying, with Bairstow kind of on his shoulder, is they dovetail really well. I would say, in terms of the openers, that they are kind of prominent in the market, but that's not to say that people like compilers like Root, Williamson, or obviously Kohli's towards head of market, but they shouldn't be dismissed, because this is 50-over cricket. It's not, you know, flash and crash all the time. Like, I mean, there's no way, to my mind, that Williamson should be 6 points bigger than Root. You know, he's a very unheralded player. If you look at his stats match up with the best there's ever been, especially what's around now. The one that I like at a bigger price is Shikhar Dhawan from India. He is an opener, but obviously he plays a lot of second fiddle to Kohli, but he's a class act in his own right. He scored more runs in ICC tournaments than anyone else has in the last three tournaments. Two of them, crucially, were in England as well. They were Champions Trophies. I think he scored over 1,000 runs in 18 innings. And he would probably be the one for me each way. And maybe Pakistan got a number three called Babar Azam. He's made kind of international cricket look so easy. He averages over 50 in ODIs and T20s. Not so good against the red ball. But he showed against England recently, he scored 250s and a ton. That I think he scored 100 in the warm-up as well recently. So he comes in good nick, and he's about 25s.
Okay. So James is going to go for Jason Roy. Matt's going for Shikhar Dhawan. Who are you going to go for, Stuart?
For me, David Warner is very hard to look past. I think he's great value at 10-1. He's come off an unbelievable IPL when, I mean, he had the pressure of the world on his shoulders after Sandpaper Gate. He's shown huge temperament here. He's done it in England before, both in Ashes series and other tournaments. Yeah, I think he represents really good value. At a good each way price, I would certainly look at KL Rahul of India. I think he's locked in the number four spot in their batting lineup. He scored a fantastic century yesterday against Bangladesh. And at 25-1, I think that's a great each way shot.
Okay, and quickly, James, just looking through this fantastic Racing Post World Cup supplement, which you should definitely buy if you haven't already. You've got another quick each way top bat lurking, as well as Jason Roy. Who is it?
Yes, Martin Guptill of New Zealand, who topped the run scoring charts in 2015, largely to an incredible 237 in the quarterfinal. And he has got this ability to make absolutely enormous scores, you know, on flat pitches. He's just such a powerful striker of the ball. He scored 189 in an ODI in England a few years back, and excellent form this season. And yeah, you know, gets first go with New Zealand. I expect them to go well.
It's good actually that without the minnows, it means that the top bat, you're not just going to get done by someone smashing Holland all over the place.
Yeah, you should kind of don't worry if he gets a few low scores, because he is liable to do that against some of the better opposition. But when he goes big, he will go very big.
Okay, top wicket taker. Stuart, what's the latest from Paddy Power on that?
So top wicket taker, it's a really tight market here. You've just about got Jasprit Bumrah, a favourite at 12-1. You've got three players at 14s, Adil Rashid, Trent Bolt and Kasigo Rabada. And then at 16s, you've got Mitchell Starc and Pat Cummins. Joffre Archer, Chris Wokes and Rashid Khan, all at 18-1 and 20-1 bar.
You go first, Stu. Who's going to be top wicket taker?
I really like Kasigo Rabada here. He's probably, for me, is the ultimate death bowler in both T20 and ODI cricket. He bowls consistently over 90 miles per hour. Guys, especially at the tail end of an innings, absolutely terrified by his bowling. A 14-1 represents, I think that's a tremendous chance.
Okay, James, who do you like?
I've gone for Adil Rashid. I think, you know, you have to be wary with the fast bowlers. There are a lot of matches coming up and a lot of them coming in with kind of slight doubts over their fitness, particularly the England bowlers. So I think Rashid will be likely to be an ever-present for England. And, you know, no bowler's taken more ODI wickets since the last World Cup than he has. He's absolutely epitomised what Owen Morgan's done for this team. Because, you know, Rashid, he made his international debut years ago when he was very young, but he just seems to have grown in confidence under Morgan. Morgan's said to him, look, I want you in an attacking role. I don't mind if you get tonked a bit. And he brings him on later and later in the innings. So he's not just kind of coming in to try and contain during the middle overs. He's brought on as an attacking weapon at the end of the innings, you know, last 15 overs or so.
And when you want your bowlers bowling.
Exactly, yeah. Batsmen are taking risks against you. You know, he showed that in the West Indies when in a game when the West Indies were looking like they might chase down an absolutely enormous total. He came on and took four wickets in five balls to win the game for England.
And historically, James, top wicket taker, has that normally been a spinner or is it a mix of spin and pace?
I think mainly pacemen go well, but I think, you know, you're hoping for a nice dry run with the weather if you're backing a spinner. You know, last time it was Mitchell Starc and Trent Bolt who shared the honours. But, you know, as I say, there's so many of the, you know, Starc, for example, hasn't played a great deal of one-day cricket in the last 2 years. He's had injury problems. So I think teams are going to be wary of you know, the workloads for their quick bowlers. So I think the spinners should have good tournaments in general, yeah.
Matt, you're nodding there. Who do you like, a spinner or a fast man?
A bit of both, actually. Rashid will be my number one spinner. A lot of the reasons for what Jane said, but also if you look at who he gets out, he gets tails out. You know, he's in throughout his county career, he's always brought on when teams are 6-7 down and he can mop up a tail. Really, he's got a wicked googly, which a lot of tail enders don't pick. And I think really, like in the last 4 years, he's probably shown himself to be the best spinner in kind of international cricket in one day action. Of the seamers, I respect Rabada from South Africa. I mean, he is a, you know, he's going to be one of probably South Africa's greatest ever bowlers. But another young lad who called Alungi Ngidi, who is double the price of Rabada, and is since February, when he made his February 2018, when he made his debut ODI debut, he has taken more wickets than any other player. He's 90 mile an hour all the time, absolute gun bowler who, you know, big things are expected of this lad, and he's double the price of Rabada, so he would be in preference for me. And another lad at double that price is a West Indian called O'Shane Thomas. He's another 22-year-old, bowls 90 mile an hour, got a searing Yorker. He's around 66 to 1. He's only played 9 games for the West Indies ODIs, but in that time he's already taken a 5-4 against England.
Wow. What's he called?
O'Shane Thomas.
Shane Thomas, I better listen out for him. Okay, chaps, excellent stuff. There's loads more tips to come.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. TNCs apply, 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post World Cup cricket postcast. Bruce Millington, James Milton, Matt Ireland and Paddy Power, Stuart Conroy. We've been through the outrights, we've been through the top bats and the top bowlers. Let's delve a little bit more into the teams now, both in terms of how they are going to fare overall, but more specifically whether there are some really good individual team top bats and top bowler bets out there. I'm going to throw open to you, James, basically. Any of the 10 teams, batsmen or bowlers, give us a couple of bets.
I'm going to start with Babar Azam for Pakistan. I think he's a really solid top Pakistan run scorer bet. The openers for Pakistan have actually made incredible starts to their one-day careers. Fakhar Zaman and Imam Ul Haq. They're the two fastest players to reach 1,000 one-day runs, which is amazing to have them both in the same team. That their records have been slightly padded by a kind of series against Zimbabwe where they caused absolute mayhem. But Babar Azam has come in at number 3, and as Matt mentioned earlier, I think will play the kind of Joe Root role. He's allowed to bat at his own pace, and I just think he's just looked so at ease with international cricket ever since his debut. Averages over 50 in one day as and in 2020s. Looked terrific in the series against England. I just think he's a class above his teammates.
Where do you stand on Pakistan overall?
I think they played some decent cricket in the series against England, ended up losing 4-0. But before then they'd lost 5-0 in the UAE against Australia. So their stats don't look good. But you know, having seen what they did in the Champions Trophy 2 years ago, it's dangerous to write them off because they lost their first game against India, absolutely hammered in that. And then came back to beat England in the semi-final that we discussed, and then they beat India by 180 runs in the final. So I suspect their bowling attack is just a little bit too inexperienced to make it. I think they're one of the sides that, you know, if it was more of a knockout game, you'd give a knockout format, you'd give them a chance. But the league system might just work against them.
Okay, so your first team top run scorer is Babar Azam. Matt, you give us your first one. What are you going to go for?
I will go for the West Indies.
Okay.
This isn't a team from the 70s and 80s who destroyed all before them, but there will be one of the most exciting teams to watch in the tournament. That is guaranteed. In our World Cup guide, one of the odds makers said they don't do singles, which is a perfect summary of the West Indies. They've got Chris Gayle talking a good game as usual. It's his last ever tournament for the Windies. He's got another lad at the other end of his opening pots called Evan Lewis, who can also hit the ball a long way. I think there was one game he played for their country in the domestic CPL where Gayle got a very un-Gayle-like 18 off 20 and Lewis got 125 off 60 at the other end with about 12 sixes. This guy in the top bats, he's quite big. England have kind of found out to hit their chagrin about him. He's called Shimron Hetmeyer. He's a young 22-year-old. He's played 24 ODIs, but scored 4 centuries in 250s. Didn't have the greatest IPO in his first crack at it this year, but he finished off with 75 against the Sunrisers. Hits the ball a long way and comes in about 4 or 5. So, you know, Gayle's liable to get 180, but he's also liable to get 1. So he will get plenty of opportunities, and you know, he's about 8-10 to 1 in that market, which I thought was quite big.
Talking of the Windies, why has Narine not played for them?
He's just been kind of frozen out and had a few injuries as well. And I think he's just specialising in the T20s.
He's unplayable at one point.
He was, yeah. I think he's been slightly been found out, but yeah.
Love selling runs in the next over when Narayan was bowling. Right then, Stu, what's your best team top batsman bet?
For me, one of the teams that I've watched quite closely over the last 2 years, because they play Ireland on such a regular basis, is Afghanistan. So I've probably seen them more than most of the other sides in the World Cup on a regular basis. For me, looking at the Afghanistan side, a lad called Hasmurullah Zazai, who opens the batting with Mohammad Shahzad, I think offers really good value. Shahzad has a number of issues. He's carrying a hamstring problem as it is. He also carries a bit of condition, as they'd say in the horse racing worlds. Zazai is quite good. He's a really big name in Afghanistan. I think at 3-1, especially when you look down to the rest of the order, there's not a huge amount of runs there with players like Ashgai Afghan and Ramat Shah. I think Zazai at 3-1, I think, is a really good chance for a top Afghanistan batsman.
Okay. James, any more top bats or top bowlers you care to mention?
The Bangladesh top run scorer. Bangladesh have got a really experienced core of players who people know, kind of Tamim Iqbal, Shakib Al Hassan, Mushfiqur Rahim. But actually, Tamim's opening partner, Soumya Sarkar, is coming into the tournament in nice form. He's about 5-1 to top score for them. He played really well in the tri-series in Ireland against Ireland in the West Indies, and scored a double century in a 50-over game in a domestic competition this year as well. So he's in good nick. I think him and Mushfiqur would be the ones to watch for Bangladesh.
Matt, what else have you got for us?
I'll go for the Aussies. The kind of two towards their bowlers are Mitchell Stark and Pat Cummins, which right, then Zampa. Nathan Coulter-Nile is, you can get 10-1 with some firms, and he's nowhere near as good as Stark or Cummins, but he picks up wickets. You know, he bowls a lot of, people come after him because he doesn't bowl that express pace, bowls slower balls. He's a seasoned IPL player, played in all the big T20 leagues around the world. He averages nearly 2 a game. So if you play 9 games, and he is likely to play a lot of them games because he is the backup to the two main seamers. You talk him 22, 23 wickets will probably get you near the top end of that market. He averages nearly that in his career to go. I kind of think he might be overpriced in that market.
Stu, what else have you got for us?
For me, I think there's a real sleeper in the market here with the top New Zealand bowler market. Trent Bolt is coming off a really torrid time in the IPL, but in the last couple of warm-up games for the World Cup, he looks to have really come back to his form. However, Lockie Ferguson, for me, this guy bowls at 90 miles an hour on a regular basis. He played in England in the Blast last year for Derbyshire, taking 16 wickets in 10 games. He looked really good in those kind of real English conditions. I think he'll bowl a lot in this tournament. And I think, Lockie Ferguson at 7-2, I think it's a great, I think it's a good bet.
I like the sound of that. Right then, Paddy Power, like all bookmakers, have got loads and loads of specials, novelties, all sorts of markets. So, chaps, what do you like?
I've picked out two special bets. West Indies to hit most sixes in the tournament at 2-1. I mean, we've discussed Chris Gayle and Evan Lewis at the top of the order, Shimron Hetmyer, Matt was mentioning. And you've also got Andre Russell coming into the tournament after an extraordinary IPL campaign for Kolkata.
Brathwaite, he can swing it.
Yeah, certainly can. Yeah, hit 4 sixes to win the World 2020 final against England. And just all the way down their order, they've got these fantastic strikers of the ball. And another thing to consider is that their first 5 games, I think, are at Trent Bridge, the Rose Bowl, and Taunton, which are all fantastic venues for batting.
Will they be bringing the ropes in a lot, like they tend to do in 2020 these days, or will you still have to give it a good old clout?
I think it'll depend. I mean, grounds like Bristol and Taunton, there's not much leeway there anyway because they're largely county grounds. So I don't know. I mean, for bowlers' sake, you'd like to think the bowlers are given a little bit of a chance. But you see these guys now kind of top edging for 6 over the wicketkeeper's head and whatever. And the few sides will go quite as hard at the bowlers as the West Indies.
So you've got West Indies for most sixes.
Yeah, and the other one I like is Hardik Pandya, who Stuart's mentioned to hit the fastest 50 in terms of balls faced. He's 9-1. I mean, the way he was batting during the IPL was just phenomenal. I think, you know, Mumbai ended up winning it, but I think they probably didn't get as much value out of him as they could have done. He seemed to be coming in too late in the order a lot of the time and still just smacking kind of 30 off 10 balls. His standout innings was 91 off 34 against Kolkata, which was an unbelievable knock in a losing cause. But he also hit a 32-ball half century in the Champions Trophy final, which they lost against Pakistan. And his last ODI innings was 45 off 22 against a very good New Zealand attack. And, you know, even in the IPL, when you get a bit numb to just seeing the ball disappear into all parts, the way he was hitting the ball was really striking.
Lovely stuff, James. Matt, you've been sifting through the specials. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Any team to make over 450?
That sounds good. What price is that?
7-2 shot.
7-2?
Yeah, that's on Paddy Power. As James was saying, you know, Bristol and Taunton are pretty small grounds, and the pitch at Trent Bridge is obviously is a belting batting wicket. If you look at the pitch they played on England versus Pakistan series, they played literally on the edge of the square, third man or cow corner for a left-hander. That boundary was literally about 25 yards.
Not even I could hit a four there.
It was small because it was right on the edge of the square.
Why is it called cow corner, by the way?
I think it's a slightly derogatory term because it's just, if a batsman plays that shot, he's a bit village.
Yeah, it's a bit agricultural.
I love NASA's saying, but his obsession with cow corner doesn't matter. Anyway, sorry.
So that's, would be interested in that, especially with, you know, the wind he's playing there and England are pretty much playing every ground apart from Taunton. I will be massively against Sri Lanka. So the ones I would have there, them to finish the bottom of the group. I really think that the Afghans will beat them. Their squad, they're in just a state of crisis at the moment. You know, from the kind of the dressing room to the upper reaches of the
group. So not only have they lost all that fantastic talent, but they're not even unified anymore.
No, not all. If I would say if someone got injured in Sri Lanka and they called Kumar Sangakkara up, he would be massive fav to be their top bat. Even probably Muralitharan and Jayasuriya, they're just in crisis. The captain, so Angelo Matthews is definitely their best player. He's in the squad. Got replaced as captain after an Asia Cup final debacle. The guy who replaced him has been left at home. And Karunaratne, who is captain in the side, has not played an ODI since the last World Cup. I mean, the game has changed massively since then. They only scored 240 in a warm-up against Australia the other day. If they score 240, a lot of teams are going to beat them.
Wow, what price are they to finish bottom then?
They were about 5-1. I think they're a lot shorter now.
Steamed in, have you, Matt?
Yeah, well. And also, you can get them about 12-1 to lose every game.
12-1 to lose every game? Aren't you just better off doing a 9-game acca there?
Maybe. I'd certainly punt Afghanistan to beat them.
Okay.
They will score. Afghanistan probably can't bat for 50 overs the way they play because they are brought up on T20 cricket. But they will probably tear into a pretty poor Sri Lanka side.
Wow. That's one of the greatest tips of my career, which isn't saying something, is tipping Sri Lanka at 66s for the 1995 World Cup. Was
Six.
It 66, yeah. 96. But anyway, I'm still dining out on a tip 23 years ago. Stu, they're massive prices, Sri Lanka. How the mighty do fall, eh?
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose when you look at the players they've had to try and replace over the last number of years with between Sangakkara, Dilshan, Jayawardena, you know, these guys are almost impossible to replace. And yeah, the turmoil they're in, I think 9-4 for them to finish bottom represents great value. I think you'll get every chance with that kind of a bet.
Okay, now Stuart, it's slightly weird to ask someone who's compiled all these markets to choose a best bet, because you're basically going to say which market you think you're wrong on, and presume you don't think you're wrong on any of them. But have you seen anything which you're slightly concerned about, or maybe a run of money for something that might lend you to think that there's a rick in there?
Two that have been quite popular with our customers. The first one is two or more double centuries to be scored in the tournament at 5-1. If you go back to the last World Cup in Australia and New Zealand, there was two scored, Martin Guptill and Chris Gayle. I think this World Cup is going to be a batsman's World Cup. There's a lot of said, you look at the likes of, you know, Taunton, the likes of Trent Bridge, you know, these are all high scoring grounds, and, you know, there's going to be huge opportunities there for batsmen to score a lot of runs. I think 5-1, I said, it's being backed in with us. So, yeah, our customers obviously think it's got a decent chance. The other one I would also look at, England to score 500 runs in a single innings, 16-1. Again, that's been quite popular. They came really close to it last year with 481 against Australia in Old Trafford's. They've got Pakistan in Trent Bridge and they've got Afghanistan in Old Trafford. Both chances, I mean, if you're going to bat first, there could be huge opportunities to run up a lot of runs in those pitches. Yeah, I think at 16-1, over 9 games, you'll definitely get a run for your money.
I think the trouble with so many of these markets is they're so weather dependent, aren't they? You know, if we get a wet June, then, you know, all the people who are going long of any of the run stuff are going to struggle, but fingers crossed we get some good weather. Have we got reserve days for all these games?
For the semi-finals and the final, there are.
Not the rest?
No.
Okay, right. The tournament kicks off on Thursday at the Oval, England versus South Africa. What's the latest betting on that, please, Stuart?
So England against South Africa. So at the moment, England 4-9 favs in the game, understandably so. You know, kind of you look at kind of the South African side at the moment, I think, you know, they've already lost Dale Steyn, which is a big blow for their bowling department. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Quinton de Kock. Amla's not in great form at the moment. Yeah, I think England's, you know, a 4-9 is about as strong as it gets. Very hard to see past them, to be honest.
So what price South Africa, Stuart?
South Africa's 7-4.
7-4. Quick line, lads. What do you think will happen in the curtain raiser?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a cracking opener. We've spoken about South Africa's new ball bowlers. They're up against Jason Roy on his home ground and Johnny Bairstow. So it'd be a very exciting game. I think England will just have too much power. 4-6, England to hit more sixes. I don't really fancy the South African batting too much.
Matt?
Yeah, I'd be getting with England. Probably highest 10. Overs, high as 15 overs, something like that. I think they'll make a massive, power pack start. The win price is slightly skinny. Is Morgan going to play? If not, they've got James Vince, who is a fine player, but probably doesn't score at the same lick that Morgan does. Same with South Africa. I don't think, you know, we were talking earlier about Australia, but if one of South Africa's team doesn't fire, is there a replacement? So if Roy doesn't fire, you've got Bairstow. Don't think you've got that with South Africa.
Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. We will culminate with, if you were only having one bet, an outright long-range bet on the Cricket World Cup, who would you go for? Matt Ireland?
To win it?
No, just anything, whatever you like.
Sri Lanka to finish bottom.
Okay, James?
Babar Azam, top Pakistan run scorer.
And Stuart, what's your nap?
England to win the group stage.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, gents. Looking forward to 6 fantastic weeks of action. Don't forget to check out the Racing Post every day for the best World Cup previews.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.